Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
I'm glad I know that about you.
I can't, you know. What, we know so much about each other.
We really do.
Yeah, like there are Heather, are you trying to say we have boundaries?
What the fuck are boundaries?
What? Oh my god. Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. We are closing the curtain on our rock and roll all night theme with Idle Minds by KT Salvo. And we've got Heather back with us to discuss. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Ashley.
You know, it's lucky that you're here with us to discuss because this book includes K-pop. And you are somewhat of a K-pop expert. Well, we say expert. We mean you're a fan. You're a fan of K-pop. You know all about it.
I do. I listen to the K-pop.
Korean dramas, Korean pop, the Korean wave.
Yes. Accurate.
Heather's riding the Korean wave. Okay. That's what they call it in the book, right?
Well, as a matter of fact... fun fact that I don't know anything about because I don't read books about this at all, but there is a book called Birth of Korean Cool, and it actually goes into very deep detail of South Korean history, like their financial troubles and turning it around with the Korean entertainment industry. And they purposefully set the Korean wave in action. Like this was an intentional... Billions and billions of won were put into this industry to make it an international thing. This was the way they restabilized their financial economy.
Damn.
Is basically to get the world hooked on K-pop. And then with that, then Korean dramas and Korean beauty. It's a thing. It's a real legitimate thing that they did intentionally. And some of us got sucked up into it. Some of us didn't. I more recently fell into this, actually. It was during the pandemic and, you know, some of us got locked down. Some of us didn't get locked down. Yeah. But you can't go out and do things anymore, which for me, it was pretty much social distancing heaven. But I found Korean dramas then. So that's when my started. So for lack of other things to go out and do, and there's only so many books a person can read, I discovered Netflix and Korean dramas and... that was the end of that.
I think a lot of people discovered Korean dramas during the pandemic.
They did. They absolutely did.
Let's get into drinks. Heather, what drink did you choose to go with this book?
Clearly, I chose soju. Well, okay, so Jason drinks his Kingston bourbon, but I feel like I maybe talk about bourbon too much in the podcast, and people are going to start thinking it's the only thing I drink. So
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You like what you like.
I like what I like, but I also can't drink it neat like he can. So better not. I do like, you know, bourbon and water. But that being the case, it's like, you know, when in South Korea, even if it's in just a fictional book, drink soju. So that is what I'm drinking. And I have never had unflavored soju before, and it tastes like medicine.
What's soju?
Soju is it's a liquor made of rice. It's not really a rice wine, but I guess you could call it a rice wine.
Okay.
And it is, you can't watch a Korean drama and they're not drinking soju somewhere, so.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's just, you'll see it in the picture I will send you later, but soju.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yes. So, I have a strong preference for the green grape or plum flavor. Peach is nice, strawberry's okay, but this original, it smells like rubbing alcohol, and it's basically like drinking low-octane vodka, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, I don't think this will be my first choice ever again. And then I get to ask you, Ashley, what drink did you pick to pair with this book?
So, like you, I feel like this would be the third book in a row that I had a whiskey drink.
Me too.
lots of whiskey going around.
It's very good.
It is. But I'm going to go, like, okay, I can't drink straight bourbon. I don't know who they think I am. I don't know how Jason, I mean, Jason would. He's got the, what is it? The charisma, the moxie.
If you are a Hollywood superstar and can afford good bourbon, I could drink that. But let's be honest. My income does not allow for top shelf aged bourbon. I'm drinking like Jim Beam, $30 or less a bottle.
$30.
Yeah, or less. I mean, if you buy the big one, you know, the big one. But I do like the part in the book where he's haggling with the bartender in South Korea to like buy the Kingston from him. And that is completely illegal, but
I tried looking Kingston up.
And Kingston's not a real brand.
That's what I thought. I was like, because I was just gonna have that. Yeah, I was just gonna drink that.
It's not actually a brand, which I feel like there's so much reality in this book. Like, we could have gotten a bourbon brand, but they probably didn't want to like sponsor a specific brand. Because like every time that they talked about soju, it's soju. There's not like a brand of soju, you know. So it made sense, I guess. But he was very a brand snob. I'm sorry if you were drinking very fancy bourbon, I could probably drink that straight.
Yeah.
But yes, my bottle of Jim Beam is not straight drinking. No.
I mean, the Tennessee Honey Whiskey from Jack Daniel's,
yeah,
that's not bad, but I don't think that counts as bourbon, or does it? See, I don't want to get
on my whiskey bandwagon about this, but flavored bourbons, there's a different category, but that it is good, and I've had that just on the rocks, and it's delicious. It's very, very sweet. It's very mellow.
Yeah.
But I again, it's very sweet. so I think it
cuts the sharpness.
It does. It is a little smoother. Like, if you want to try something that, and there are, this is one of those things, like, you need to level up to bourbon and whiskeys in general. You don't just like start drinking whiskey. This is a walk before you run kind of thing. So the Tennessee Honey would be like, you know, training wheels for bourbon.
I think I'm going to do that, because I think I've seen you can get mini bottles of it.
You can. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Mama's broke and Mama's tired. I've been behind on the sip and snacks. There's just, we talked a little bit about it earlier. There's just a lot going on in my life, especially with the cats and very expensive vet bills. Everyone's okay. The cats are fine, but
your sip and snack budget is small.
Yeah, it's just a lot, and I'm just I'm very tired.
Be tired.
And
yes,
like, honestly, at this point, I don't know, man. It's a struggle just to even like finish these books on time.
No,
there's just so much going on. I'm like, oh god, I gotta do this shit until March.
My 2024, my only reading goal for next year is literally going to be find all of the kinks. I'm going to make like a romance kink bingo card. I'm doing it. I have decided already, and I'm checking them all off.
Oh my god! Yes. All right. Snack. Okay.
You cannot snack on either of the male characters. It's not a thing they're into. Okay.
They are snacks, but not for us.
Not for us.
On. So there's a part where they're at these out like shops or some type of market or something, they're going shopping and they come across these filled pancakes, basically.
Yes.
And I don't know how to pronounce it.
Hotuk.
Hotuk. So they're these filled.
They are stuffed pancakes with sweet fillings. Yes.
Yes.
Hotuk.
So filled pancakes, basically.
Yes.
So they're eating these hotuks, and then it comes out. He's, you know, Taeyeon says, "Do you like red bean paste?" Well, let me tell you, I absolutely fucking love red bean paste, and I was so excited. I was so excited to see that on the page, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this is really tasty." I was like, "Oh my god, no one else I know likes it." Sesame balls. In particular,
yes,
sesame, and I know they're not Korean, they're Chinese, I believe. Oh my god, Okay, yes. Sesame balls, next time you come up here, it's happening. You and I are going to have a red bean paste date. We're going somewhere to eat red bean paste.
Okay.
Oh, I feel dumb. He said sweet bean paste. He didn't say red bean paste.
Well, it's still...
Same thing.
It's sweet. It's red bean paste. We know what it is.
But yeah, so sip, I guess, you know, bourbon. I can do the training wheels. I'll just do the Tennessee honey whiskey and drink it straight.
It's bourbon training wheels, and I'm very proud of you.
And then I'll do that. Oh my gosh, that would taste so good with sesame balls.
It really will. Ooh. When you record the sip and snack, just know I'm there in spirit.
Okay, yes. I'll have two sesame balls and like I'll point to it and I'll be like, this is Heather's. This is Heather.
This is like pouring one out for your homies, isn't it? Oh god.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, I'll just like pour it on the sesame ball.
Please don't ruin the sesame balls like that.
No, I don't want to do that. I guess I should go into detail. So I believe a sesame ball is like a fried ball of dough.
Sure.
And the middle of it, they have the red bean paste. And then on the outside, it's covered in sesame seeds.
It's covered in sesame seeds.
So it's a literal sesame ball.
Sesame ball.
Ugh, now I'm hungry. I'm gonna go.
I hate you.
It's Friday. Now I have to wait till Sunday to go get a sesame ball. Life is
sad. I have to wait until probably next year. So
why?
Well, because it's getting into the holidays and we all get busy and shit. Yeah. So I don't know what your schedule's like or bougie schedule's
next
like.
Next year is in like 2 months.
Next year is in.
I hate it. Okay. Let's shifting gears.
I hate it.
Let's talk a little bit about the author. K.T. Salvo, he, they, is a queer romance novelist and artist passionate about gaming, anime, and K-pop. With a love for diverse and inclusive storytelling, KT's stories explore the complexities and joys of modern queer relationships. With a distinctive voice and a talent for crafting relatable and realistic characters, KT is quickly becoming a rising star in the world of queer romance fiction. Yeah.
Yes.
This was great. I love this. Let's get right into it. Let's get right into this book report.
Okay.
Starting with Heather's summary. Take it away.
I will. This is a long, short summary. I'm going to prepare you now.
Hell yeah. Mine's super short. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Mine's too short.
So mine's too long. It balances.
Yeah, it works.
If you enjoy the over-the-top tropes of K-dramas, Korean BLs, or Thai BLs, Idle Minds is the fast-paced, dramatic-as-fuck romance novel for you. Jason Park is a Korean-American Hollywood bad boy on his last chance in the entertainment industry when he is sent to South Korea as an acting coach. Woo Tae-yun is a K-pop idol just returned to Seoul after completing military service, trying to relaunch his music career. His agency suggests an acting role. Enter Jason, the inexperienced acting coach. One meat disaster and a raging case of insta-lust later is the beginning of a beautiful love story.
Yeah.
That's the whole story.
That's it. So
right there. That's it.
Yeah.
Ashley, how would you summarize Idle Minds?
K-pop idol meets Hollywood bad boy and the sparks fly. That's it.
Oh my god, I love you. That's perfect.
Quotes. Were there any good quotes you liked?
Can I just quote the novel? If you have 4 to 6 hours, I could just read you the novel.
Yeah.
And it would be good quotes.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I have many, many quotes. I will start here. One of the conversations between Jason and his manager slash partner, technically, Naomi, she's asking him the chances of him staying in Korea, basically, and like doing this job that he signed up for. It's like, I think we're down to 50-50 odds that I fuck off and go sit on a Thai beach for 3 weeks, which is really good odds considering where they were before. So there's a lot of, if you've watched Korean dramas, if you are in that scene, there's a lot of that here. A lot of things that you will see if you watch the dramas are written in the story. And I like the fact that KT like pulls those out and they're in conversations. So Jason and Taeyeon have had a fight and he's gone off to drink because that's what he does. So Taeyeon goes and finds him at the bar and he's like pissed off entirely. And so he kind of like stumbles him back to the hotel and they fall in the bed because of course Jason can't take his own pants off. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's a K-drama thing. So Jason snorts and pushes his face a fraction closer. I've seen this K-drama before. I think this is where we confess our secret love to each other and kiss. Poor Taeyeon. Well, what's he going to do? And then later, again, Naomi and Jason are having a conversation about Changmin, which is Taeyeon's ex and also an idol in the band that has broken up. So he's basically like, I know that Changmin has a boner for Taeyeon and tried to use me to take him down like some bad Korean revenge plot. So he's like calling this out. Like literally this would happen in a K-drama. Like yeah. You would have the ex in the background, like secretly moving against them and their relationship. I'm just trying to fuck shit up. I pretty much just love Jason and all of his quips throughout the whole story.
So good.
He's just the best. So this one is a whole conversation between Taeyeon and Jason at the end. And this is all, everything that's happened has come down to this. So Jason pretty much tells him, he's like, and also you're my boyfriend. Taeyeon felt his ears warming as he bashfully smiled. Is that what we are, boyfriends? And Jason's response, of course, is, I'd say so. I mean, we met, got together, broke up, got back together. So yeah. Hell, we've had sex in 3 different countries.
Yeah.
I love Jason so much.
He's such a messy little bitch.
I love him so much. You don't even understand. I could just, every interaction basically Jason and Naomi have, I love. And then just Jason. Like, he has this sarcastic, snarky way of just, like, not giving a shit. But he really gives a shit. Which is why I love him so much. But this isn't about me, this is about us. What good quotes did you find in this book?
Of course, I found a quote about sex.
Of course.
But no, it's actually really funny because this is factual and accurate. So it's okay. A scene where Jason and Taeyeon are trying to have sex, and I think they're fooling around basically, and they're fumbling with each other's pants and whatnot. And then Jason says, it's okay. Perfect sex only happens in porn because they edit this shit out. Which is true.
Which is true.
You know how many, like, cracks and pops I hear when I'm trying to get down? Like, you don't hear that. I bet you don't hear that shit in porn where you're, like, back pops and you're like, and you're like, hold on.
No.
Hold on.
No, because they edit that shit out.
Yeah.
That's why,
or like,
porn is,
you know,
like, perfect sex.
You're trying to get on top, and then, like, your knee pops, and you're like, oh, God, give me a second.
It's like, oh, my hip's stuck right here? Hold on.
Just, yeah, it's like, oh.
I got this.
Ooh, cramp.
For me, it was
cramp.
Always my hip. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna need a minute.
Again, perfect sex only exists in porn.
Accurate. And honestly, who wants perfect anyway? That's some boring-ass shit.
No. Okay, so Taeyeon is friends with an actress model named Yumi, and they actually fake dated for PR before he went into the military service. So they're at some type of event, or I think it's a photo shoot or something that they're doing, because they ended up getting cast in a movie together, and this is his comeback movie before his music career. They want like a soft launch, basically.
They basically want to get his name back out
yeah.
in the world, and that would help promote a solo music career for him, sure.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, we're going to put you in this movie. Maybe you'll have a song on the soundtrack, and then you're going to launch your new album. Taeyeon is in this photo shoot with Yumi, and Changmin is his ex. So
that bitch.
Piece of shit. So Taeyeon was formerly in a K-pop group called Ecstasy. I just got that. Oh my
Did
god.
Did you really
Heather.
Just get that? I can with you.
I wasn't reading it out loud. I think this is the first time I said it out loud.
You said it out loud. Yes. The names of the band members were Cheong, Changmin, Taeyeon. So Taeyeon obviously in the middle, but
yeah.
XTC, that was their
yeah. But Ecstasy.
You really haven't.
I just said it out loud and I got it immediately.
What?
Some of the K-pop bands, that's why I figured it out, because when I was trying to cast earlier, I looked at some of their names and I was like, oh, haha, I get it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And now when I just said it out loud, I was like,
oh. Okay.
Because
so
what if I kept saying XTC this whole time?
I would have to hurt you. I would be done with you. Okay.
I love it. Okay. Ooh, drugs. Okay.
Ooh,
so
drugs. Don't do them.
Don't do them. They're bad. Taeyeon was in a group called Ecstasy with two other guys. One of the guys was Changmin, who he ended up having a relationship with which blew up spectacularly when he found him fucking someone else in a Tokyo hotel room.
I believe the word you're looking for is a money boy.
Okay, yeah, no, I had to look up what a money boy was.
Oh, no.
I was like, money boy, I was like, does he mean like sex worker? I'm assuming he means sex worker, but maybe it's just some rich kid. I don't know.
You wanted clarification, so you Googled it.
That's when Taeyeon decided, fuck all y'all, went and did his military service and broke up the band. So Changmin thinks, oh, he's coming back. The band's getting back together. I'm going to be famous again. Me, 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 me. And then Taeyeon lets loose that, actually, I'm going solo. Fuck
bitch.
Off. And Changmin like loses his mind. And so Changmin decides to ambush Taeyeon at this photo shoot and talk to him because it's public and he knows that he's not going to out their dirty laundry because neither of them are out.
Right.
So they're still closeted. No one, I mean, the public doesn't know. Their company doesn't know. Oh, sorry.
And technically, according to their contracts, they are not allowed to date.
Exactly. So Changmin wants to have a talk and try to convince him to get the band back together. And Yumi is at this photo shoot. And he's trying to talk to Yumi. And she gives him an insincere smile and says, yes, well, you're looking especially healthy, no matter how often I've wished you would drop dead. Like, I think he's trying to, like, get in good with her, and she's like, yeah, no. And he goes, can't you at least pretend you're not a raging bitch for one conversation? And she replies, no, and fuck you. I love it.
I do, too. Absolutely,
yes. Here for the savagery. Now we're getting to favorite parts, and Heather will be reading the entire book to us.
I will read you the book.
The book. All right. So what were your favorite parts?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. I've got so many. Okay. So Jason's parents, hot garbage, which we'll talk about soon. But he has a line. He's talking with Naomi, and this is his internal like ranting about his homophobic parents. Jason's parents had adopted a don't ask, don't tell policy regarding his being gay, a policy that he frequently and willfully violated. Did I mention I love him so much?
Yeah.
He knows, he's fully aware of himself as a person, that he is a troublemaker. He says it repeatedly, that trouble is his middle name. He sees the thing that he can pick at someone to torture them just a little bit, and he'll do it. He's one of my favorite parts of this book, honestly.
Yeah.
I wish I could just roll through life with his confidence, because he has got it in spades. Okay, we'll skip ahead. So they have the drunk scene, which I kind of mentioned. Jason and Taeyeon have this big fight, and they've barely known each other for a minute. Keep this in mind. It's been a day. It's literally the next morning, and Jason has run off to get himself drunk, and he has no idea where he is, but he finds a bar within 2 blocks of their hotel, within their apartment, so it's all good. So Taeyeon goes and picks him up, and in true K-drama fashion, he's stumbling as they walk, so Taeyeon puts his arms under his shoulders to help him along. The scene felt too much like being in a drama series. All they needed was the accidental trip and fall into an unexpected kiss. Do you know how many times accidental trips and kiss, like, it's just, it happens in K-dramas so much. It is the biggest cliche. We'll skip ahead to... So Jason's got a temper, right? He's got this big swagger on him. He's a very big ego, and he's just a live wire, this one. So Taeyeon is just kind of, he tries to placate him, calm him down a little bit, but when they are found, when they're having their stuffed pancake date, and they're found by the K-Star Daily and the photographer that finds them there, and Ji-hoon, who's the manager director at KBR, which is Taeyeon's agency that he has a contract with, he's the idol with KBR, he's yelling at them. He's like giving them what for. It's like, you know, I shouldn't have let you out. It's like, you know, why are you behaving like this? Whatever. And Taeyeon's just thinking, as much as it bothered him when Jason lost his temper, he really liked him going at Ji-hoon. Like, loved it. Like, a lot. So then when he realizes he's not getting through to Jason, it's like yelling at him is nothing. So he turns to Taeyeon and he's like, and as for you. And Jason is just like, oh no, we're not doing that again. Basically, you heard these two. We didn't do anything wrong. And then he turns around and he's like, so you plug your fucking leak. In the meantime, I believe I heard something about a party.
Oh, yeah. I love that scene. So
he steps in because Taeyeon is about to get his ass handed to him by his director. And he is still in that, I need to launch my career. And to do that, I need them. And I've got to, you know, just be the yes man and do what they say and go along with it. And Jason is just like, oh, no. You're not doing this. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, so my last favorite part is their love conversations that they're having with their female, you know, people in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason has Naomi, and at this point, Taeyeon has Yumi, and she's questioning him, and he's basically like, I don't know if I like him. Maybe I do. We don't get along, but since we spend half our time arguing, but then she's like, but he's hot. He's like, so hot. But it's more than that. He's kind, too, in his own way, and more genuine than anyone else I know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's got some hidden agenda like the rest of us. I'm like, oh, even when he's falling in love, he's still, like, convinced that he's just got to be in it for something else.
Yeah.
But then Jason's conversation with Naomi, which ends up being the way they're outed, but not really, because they just cover it up and pretend it didn't happen, is Jason's conversation with Naomi. And it's basically, I like him. And she's like, say that again. It's like, fine, I like him. I like Taeyeon. Sure, he's beautiful, but he's also smart, talented, fun to be around. He's thoughtful and kind. He doesn't put up with my shit. As crazy as it sounds, I think there might be something there. So Naomi's basically like, I don't know what to do with this. I never thought I'd hear you talk about someone other than yourself that way. So even she realizes that Jason is so full of himself, she never thought that he would love someone.
Yeah.
And then their confessions to each other is basically, I'm completely crazy about you. Well, I'm crazy about you too. And there you go. That's the short list of my favorite parts. What was your favorite part of this book?
Honestly, I don't like this book was just so lovely. It was just lovely. It was a lovely time reading this. So you are well versed in the culture. I, however, am not at all. So the Korean culture as a whole, you know, K-pop, idols, I was looking up what their words meant and looking up social, they have a whole social hierarchy. It was all very interesting and new to me. And it was just a good time. It was a good time learning about it. Now, don't get me wrong, like there's some messed up stuff, of course, yes, but there's always something. But it was just so interesting to me and it held my attention. You know, the food.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it made me so hungry. Okay, so there's a scene where there's supposed to be a press conference or something for the film that Taeyeon and
Yumi
are in. So they show up to KBR, their agency. Well, Taeyeon's agency. Yumi is actually with a different agency. So they show up to KBR because they're the ones producing the movie. They're getting set up and everything. And then all of a sudden, Ji-hoon's like, the manager's like, oh, yeah, Jason, you need to be there. And he's like, for what? Because he was hired as a, quote, acting coach for Taeyeon. So he's like, well, I don't really need to be there for anything. I'm just the acting coach. And they're like, oh, well, you're this. And they kind of gave him, like,
promotion. Told him he was a producer on the show. That he would be part of the production team. So then he demanded a promotion. He wanted the money.
Yeah. So they're like, oh yeah, well you're in the production. You're on the production team. And he's like, okay. So I'll be getting a producer credit then. I'll be credited as a producer of this film then. Right. And they're like, well, and he's like, no. If you want me to show up to this press conference for no fucking reason, out of nowhere, being sketch as fuck, you're giving me a producer credit, which was so brilliant because back in America, his reputation is shit.
Yes.
And he gets fired from jobs all the time. Part of it is because his attitude and his anger issues. But the other part, he was in a film and I believe the director tried to assault his female co-star. Yes. So he kicked his ass.
I support it.
Sometimes violence is the answer.
I mean, the thing is, like, there was just no kidding, legal repercussions for this director.
Yeah, no, and of course not.
He acted in a true Jason Park fashion.
Yeah, he was like, oh, you think you can just go around assaulting women? Well,
no,
try to assault me, motherfucker, and then beat his ass. His female co-star begged him not to say anything because then she would have been labeled difficult and her career would have been ruined. So he ended up getting blacklisted instead of her.
Right. I like how that resolved, though, a lot.
Yes. Yeah, so it does come out later. It goes to court because the disgusting piece of shit director tries to assault another actress. And she comes forward with it. Yes. So then Amber, which was Jason's female co-star at the time, she comes forward as well saying, yes, he tried to do that to me too. And Jason beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
So then he gets a subpoena to court,
right,
to testify what happened. So then it all comes out to the public. The reason he got into fisticuffs with this director was because he's a disgusting pig trying to assault women.
And not that Jason's a problematic actor.
Yeah. So that was great. But, you know, before everything resolved, there's the scene where they're trying to be all sketch about this press conference. Oh, yeah, you're on the production team. He's like, and I get a producer credit then on this film that I got fired from ages ago. Now I'm a producer on the redo.
The Korean remake. Exactly. Yeah,
which was brilliant. And because his career was struggling in the States. So it was such a power move. It was so smart. And it kind of blew me away in the moment when I was reading it. I was like, oh shit, this is genius. This is so layered. That was one of my favorite scenes.
That was a great scene.
And then this whole book, Jason was constantly flipping shit back on Ji-hoon and anyone that tried to like pull anything over on him. He would just consistently be like, oh, okay. So anyways, this is what's happening. And they're like, wait, whoa, what? And just throughout the whole book.
They can't keep up with him. Yeah.
No, he's like already like 5 steps ahead of them in his head.
Well, because too, he also has this like thought that he's already fucked up as much as he can.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to give a shit at all. And if it backfires, it backfires. He just moves on to the next thing.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, my career's already fucked. Who cares?
That's it. He has no fear for himself and his career.
Yeah. One of my other favorite scenes is they're in this, I think it's after they eat in the shopping district and they go to this scent shop.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like a cologne store or anything. It's like scents for the home.
Yes.
So kind of like probably something akin to White Barn, but elevated.
Basically, it smells good. So, I mean, I can't imagine. I love places like that, though. They smell so good. Where they like blend the scents for you.
Yes, I love it.
I want it.
I've always wanted to blend my own perfume. Like, I've always wanted like a personal blended perfume. Yeah. I love it. So the aspect that really got me was that they had a palm reader in the store that basically gave you a palm reading. And just based off of your palm reading, they're like, okay, she does your palm reading, gives you a little, yes, this is what I see in your future.
She had done the thing where like she held his hand and looked and then what do you smell? And then she like pressed like on different parts of his hand, right?
Different
and
he smelled different things.
Yeah, so he smelled different smells.
Yeah, so she does the palm reading, but it's like an extensive smell palm reading to like figure out what smells he likes. And that was so interesting. I've never heard of that.
No, but if that were a real thing, I want that.
Oh, I'd be all about it. She was like a palm reader / scent master.
She was. And then she like writes down like the smells and he takes the list to like the girl at the counter.
Yeah, and it was such a cool... It was such a cool, and it might have seemed like out of pocket, but I don't care. Loved it. Okay. Are you even going to have anything? favorite part.
I do. And I think we've kind of touched on it a little bit with Jason and Taeyeon being manipulated and hurt by the people in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason, it's, you know, his father, which we haven't gotten into, but that is coming. And Taeyeon, with you know, he's being controlled by KBR. And I think this is a very real thing for like K-pop idols and anyone in South Korean entertainment, honestly. And actors even. Like we see it even with American actors. If you suddenly find out they're dating someone, it's like all their fans are in an uproar. It's like, why? Fans shouldn't have an opinion. It's not their lives. Mm-mm. It's not their business. Mm-mm. But in the Korean entertainment industry, it apparently is written into a lot of contracts that they are not allowed to date. Mm-hmm. Don't even start on being gay and dating someone of the same gender. So they're being hurt and manipulated by the people that are around them. Like Jason, there's a little, he calls him Evil Twink. His name is Steven, not Evil Twink. He's the assistant at Naomi's office. He's her secretary, I guess. He shows up at Jason's, you know, house before he goes to South Korea, and he's in like his little fuck me shorts and basically throwing himself at Jason, and Jason's kind of like, nah, I'm good, thanks. And it turns out that he is a big part of the reason that Taeyeon and Jason are outed. So that's disgusting, and I hated that. It's part of the story. I don't like that that happened and they were outed that way. And then obviously, you know, Changmin is in the mix. He's helping cause all that chaos for them. But even with it being my least favorite part, because it's disgusting and no one should ever be outed. Like if they come out, they come out.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be forced out. And even with all that manipulation, like Jason and Taeyeon were dealing with it. You know, Jason he went back to Los Angeles and he's telling everyone, you know, I'm sorry for everyone that this hurt. This isn't real. This was some vindictive, you know, thing. So they spun it until they didn't. I hated that. And I hate that in real life. I hate that for anyone that has to go through that. So that's my least favorite part. But it is a part of my favorite book of 2023. So it was necessary.
Yes. You know, it's part of the journey.
What was your least favorite part of this book?
Changmin and Evil Twink Steven outing Jason and Taeyeon by proxy. You just don't fucking do that shit.
No.
My other least favorite part was I feel like this could have used a slow burn. Not a slower burn, because there was no burn at all. Like
it there's was no just, burn.
Just pants dropping like after like not even a full 48 hours.
It was within 12 hours. It was 24 hours or less.
Yeah, I feel like this would have, I mean, I still liked it, don't get me wrong. Mm-mm. But I just feel like it, to me, it could have benefited from a slow burn. Even if they just waited a week.
They weren't, but think about it. They weren't even together in South Korea for a week. Not really. Yeah.
No, it's a few days. But then if you notice, well, no, because there were a couple parts where it's like, oh, it's been a few weeks, or oh, it's been a couple weeks, or oh, it's been so many days. So that's how they're showing the progression of time, which I like, because it's then it doesn't feel like it all happened in like a few days.
I have to, no. All I know is, they hooked up very quickly, and I said insta-lust.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
No, that's fair. That's a trope.
I don't like insta-love, because it doesn't make sense. You don't meet eyes across a crowded room, and you're not in love with someone. You can be in lust with someone. I mean, you know, they look good.
Yeah.
You know you look good. You hook up. Yeah. Insta-lust. I am for it. Insta-love needs to go die, and they did not do that in this.
That's so many people. What the fuck moment?
Jason's father. And I'm gonna tell you why. I already talked about their don't ask, don't tell policy about him being gay. Okay, so let's go back. His parents, okay, they immigrated from South Korea. He was born in America. Fine. So they have all these South Korean hangups about, you know, their son bringing them pride and fame and glory and success and blah, blah, blah. Can't be gay. So Jason's outed to his family. Jason's parents find out that he's gay when he's 14, and he falls in love with Ju-won. And Juwan's parents and Jason's parents have a handshake deal. They're going to work together. And then they find out their sons are like in love with each other. They separate them forcefully. And Juwan commits suicide. So Jason is deeply scarred because the night before he's going to leave Seoul, his mother tells him and holds him, which she has never done because she shows no affection for him. She hugs him and holds him while he's crying that his first love has committed suicide and he's dead. So 10 years later, Jason goes back to Seoul. He finds the love of his life in Taeyeon, and he's dealing with all of that trauma that he had from 10 years ago. And he finally steps up to his family and he's like, I'm not taking this anymore. It's like, he's going in, and he even says he's playing the role of the angry black sheep son coming to seek revenge on his scheming parents. So he goes in and confronts his mother and father. And his father says, what you did, and that boy did, was unnatural. If you had no intention of changing your ways, then you should have taken his example. Oh. He just told his son to his face, if you cannot make me proud and be the son I want you to be, you should have killed yourself too.
What the fuck?
I have read this story 3 times. I have read the sequel and I know what happens to the father. I still want to murder this man.
You don't fucking say that.
This is a fictional character talking to his son, and I get it because I've watched and I've seen and I understand filial behavior in Asian countries, and I get the respect and like the reverence you are supposed to have for your elders. I understand it, but there is no reality where a parent tells their child, if you weren't going to be the child I wanted you to be, you should have just killed yourself. What the fuck? Jason has walked in there knowing full well he is cutting himself off from his family, cutting all ties with them. And he does. He walks out. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want an inheritance from you. And then his father's like, oh, you don't want, basically saying all this money, this empire could be yours. And Jason's like, you were never going to fucking give that to me anyways.
Yeah.
So this is why Jason ends up so boss in this story. He did not expect to leave that mansion of a house with any ties to that family.
Yeah.
He was done. I don't want your shit. I don't want your money. I don't want your family line. I am done with it. And he walked out.
You don't do that.
How can you say that to anyone? I don't care if it's your child or not.
Yeah.
Why?
You don't say stuff like that.
No. Oh, it made me so mad. That was my what the fuck moment. What was your what the fuck moment?
Veering off in a completely different direction. Did I miss a mention of condoms anywhere?
No.
Girl, what the fuck? So you have to understand, I'm so used to hearing them have the quote, I'm clean talk.
Yeah.
That I was just like,
this one was more subtle.
Yeah, I was just like, wait, what's it? What? What's happening? Oh my god, they're just doing it. Oh my god, okay. All right.
Okay. But I think that's more the reality of it though.
Like, I think Americans especially are just really stupid and there's a lot of stigma around pregnancy and STIs, and they're just like hammering it home. They're like, hey, idiot, have this talk. Hey, idiot. We're going back. I did like think about it for a second and I was like, Well, he's already slept with Diego, so they've already had this talk. But then with Taeyeon, it was just like, surprise! Like, they're just like hooking up against a door and shit. And I'm like, listen, I have an anxiety disorder. I can't handle shit like that. Like, we're going to need receipts. I'm going to need your record. But yeah, it's like not a big deal. I'm so used to it being, you know, like, shoved in your face, and it was very subtle here, and it kind of gave me a little whiplash moment, like, wait, what? Red flags.
KBR is just
oh yeah
the red flag. Like, if there emblem is not a red flag, I dare them to show their face. So KBR is the agency that Taeyeon is signed with and has been since he was like 14 years old as a trainee with before, you know, they debuted as Ecstasy. And basically the contracts, the manipulations of his life, the just handling of every decision that he ever gets to make, it is a giant red flag. So there's a part where Taeyeon has just come back from his military service and he's in the KBR garage and he's just thinking about what it was like as a young trainee, as a debut idol. And he had more freedom during his military service than he did during his idol days under KBR.
That's messed up.
They give him, he comes back from his military service and they give him a month, they say. They give him a month to reacclimate and he's staying with his sister in South Korea. He goes back to the agency for the first time. The driver gives him a phone before he's even stepped into the building. And it says, you're back on the leash.
Yeah. He literally just got out of the military. What?
Yes. You're back on the leash. So basically, they track him through the leash.
Yeah.
They are in constant contact with him through the leash. They know every move he's making through the leash. Every decision he makes, he cannot choose his own wardrobe. Like, his hair is done for him. His makeup is done for him. Every decision about his own life is made for him.
He's no longer a person at that point.
He's a product.
Yeah, he's a brand.
And it's so disgusting. It's the biggest red flag. Like, obviously, the parents are a problem, but the red flag is the manipulation that this company has and the reality of what these idols are probably going through in real life outside of this novel. It's probably not far from this. Ugh. It's a giant red flag. It's a lot. Yes. What were your red flags?
Flies off the handle at the drop of a hat. It's called anger management. Get into it. Therapy.
It'll be better.
We like to talk about therapy here. These are general red flags.
Poor Jason. So misunderstood.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love Jason as a character, but like in the beginning, before his character growth, obviously, before any growth happened, it was just like, whoa, you gotta chill out. Like, you can't be acting like that. That would stress me out. I wouldn't want to be around someone like that because it'd be too much. Because you would never know when they're gonna throw a temper tantrum. Like, if anyone other than Jason in general, honestly, if anyone other than Jason acted like that, that is a fucking red flag and you better run away.
Yeah, but it's true.
Is a celebrity and picks fights with fans. Boy, what he are did. You doing?
He did. That guy was going to walk away. He's like, nope, I'm going to move for a fight. Bitch,
what
come back.
What are you doing? I was like, sir, stop it. I mean, I'm sure there's some others, but those are the two that I wrote down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
It's not a great thing to learn, because, you know, usually we like to look for positive things to learn from the books that we read. Yeah. But you, me, and Jason are having a conversation at a party that they're at together, and basically it's the best friend showdown with the boyfriend, and they're having this whole back and forth. But Jason wants to smoke, so he pulled out a cigarette. He's like, oh, is this all right? And she just is like, oh, of course. If you know, there are restricted areas in South Korea where you can smoke. You cannot just smoke anywhere. So they're in, you know, rooftop terrace in a penthouse. And he's like, oh, I'm kind of surprised I can smoke here. And she says, darling, this is the penthouse. Everything's allowed. And he's like, oh, is that how it works here? And of course she replies, that's how it works everywhere. Whoever has the most makes the rules. Which is true. It's not a great truth. Whoever has the most makes the rules. And you little guys can just suck it up and whatever. I don't like it. I can't change it.
We're suffering from it here in America right now.
Yeah, so there's the truth that applies to daily life. You don't have the most, you don't make the rules. Is there something you found to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
It's called Mind Your Own Fucking Business About Other People's Sexual Orientations. It's really simple. I don't know why people are so obsessed with others' genitalia and who they're fucking or not fucking. It's none of your business.
Accurate.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Shut the fuck up. That's it. Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
It's too good. I'll never read another book again.
Nice.
I've literally read this book 3 times.
Yeah.
Since February when it came out. And I low-key want to read it again. So
I'm excited to read the sequel.
So good. Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
Anyone that has listened prior to certain episodes knows that I have trauma related to spit. Okay. You already know.
I already know.
The chin licking made me ill. It made me ill. I could not, and it happened twice. And the
I love
first,
it so much.
I think I gagged. Like the first time I was reading it, I was like, no. And I'm not kink shaming. That's not what this is. I think we all know it's a me problem. Just
it is.
I just like making fun of myself about it. It's not you. It's me. I knew. I read it and I was like, Heather already knows. Heather already knows. I'm traumatized. I'm crying.
Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, God. And then not, it wasn't enough for it to happen once. It happened twice. And the second time I was like, oh, not again. Not again. No. Don't do this to me. But that kind of thing is all the rage right now. That's like the real, like one of the prominent kinks that's been coming out lately, is a lot of like licking, mixing fluids, spitting in mouths. And I just, not that that was in this, but
no,
it's in this similar vein. And I'm just like, please, please no, please don't, please don't do it.
Please don't.
Eyes unseen.
No, stop.
But yeah, it was just like a little thing. Other than that, like I don't really have anything else. That was just a little, but it was more of like a haha moment. You're that you like, knew, you knew was gonna happen.
Yeah, sorry. Right.
Now we're heading into the speed round. Heather, who would you want to be besties with and why?
It was a very tough decision, and I narrowed down my 3 besties to 1 based on their terrible and or good actions in the sequel.
Okay.
So for this book, my bestie will be, no spoilers, not saying anything, Naomi Bell, who is Jason's agent partner in the business. And why? Because she's supportive, knows all of his secrets, she gets shit done, and she gives him shit. Like on page 149 when she calls him a simple, predictable, alcohol-infused man-child.
Accurate.
I love her. So she will be my bestie. Who would you be besties with and why?
I also went with Naomi. She's not going to take any of your shit, and she's going to tell you like it is. She's going to tell you about yourself, whether you want to hear it or not. And sometimes people need that. It can be a good thing. Who do you want to throat punch and why?
Changmin, because he's a cheating asshole. Ugh. And I hate him forever.
I love how he's like blaming everyone but himself. Yes. For ruining his career. And it's like, no, that was you.
Yeah.
That was you.
And he also like wants other people to fix his career for him. Like, yeah, he does the bad behavior and he has no talent, so his career fails. But oh, wait, you'll come back and you'll fix it, right? No.
No.
No. Who would you throw a punch and why?
So it's a 3-way tie.
Nice.
The evil twink, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Ji-hoon, the manager at KBR.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Changmin. Fuck that guy. Don't fuck him, but fuck him.
Don't, because everyone else did, but don't. Yeah.
He's just throwing that thing everywhere.
And apparently
which
he was cheating on
nothing wrong
Taeyeon
with.
like the whole time.
I know, which, and I was gonna say, which there's nothing wrong with being promiscuous as long as you're single.
Yeah.
As long as you're single and practice safe sex. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Jason, because apparently he's trained in multiple martial arts and he took down the Surfer Boy and his clone in the very beginning.
Oh, that's right.
And it just looked like a breeze. Like, it opens with him in a sword fight. And sure, he was acting, but they do get training to do that. And apparently he was using a real sword. So Jason, in a fight any day. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
I'm going to go with Yumi. Savage.
Yes.
Absolutely will tear anyone to shreds verbally, which is my favorite. So who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiac signs based on vibe?
We'll come back to this in a future question you're going to ask me, but I would cast, there's a Korean actor, his name is Kang In-soo for Jason. He is actually a Korean pop idol himself and a Korean actor. He played in a drama that we'll talk about in a future question, in the role that actually makes more sense for Taeyeon, but him as an actor makes sense to me for Jason's role.
Yeah.
As the kind of very charismatic, doesn't really take people's shit, like, I know my worth kind of character.
Okay.
And for Taeyeon, I'm going to cast Lee Sang, who's also a Korean actor. They played together in the, we will soon talk about, drama. Who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiac signs based on vibes?
Jason is a Taurus.
Okay.
With, like, the aggressive temper, emotionally strong, can endure huge amounts of stress, and seldom crumbles under pressure. And this is off of Google.
Google.
But no, I definitely say that's Jason. Like, he holds his own in any court, and he'll flip that shit on you so fast.
He really will.
They never see it coming. And for Taeyeon, I'm gonna go with Virgo. Because he's super quick with the shutout. Emotionally unavailable for a good portion of this book. But, you know, once he let Jason in, everything was fine. But yeah, so I'm going Taurus and Virgo. Alright.
Like,
what reality show, what K-drama would these characters be on?
Okay, so there is a Korean BL, which is a gay Korean drama called Wish You.
Mm-hmm.
It is an 8-episode drama. It's very short. There's a movie version of it available on Netflix. And the characters that I cast for Jason and Taeyeon are actually cast members of this drama.
Oh.
But their story is more Kang In-soo plays the idol. So he plays the Taeyeon character. But he's trying to, like, make a break into the music industry. But he has his father, who's, like, a big wig in the entertainment, doesn't want his son to be a musician, so he shut him out, basically. So he happens to stumble upon a production company that does not know his father, doesn't know him and his connection, and they take a chance on him, and they want to train him. And Lee Sang plays the character that's a music producer. So he helps him in this journey to, like, you know, get his music out there. And at the very last minute in Wish You, the father finds out about everything and kind of, like, pulls the plug, but then there's a happy ending. So Wish You, I did have to kind of invert the roles. So Kang In-soo is his actor would be a better fit for Jason, which is the Korean American, you know, very charismatic character. And Lee Sang for Taeyeon, because the two of them, their dynamic is just very good. But she's a little bit different, obviously, than Idlemind's story. But I liked it because it's set in, like, the Korean music industry. And there is the dynamic of the father there. They don't get into so much that his son's gay, because I don't even think that maybe his son knew at that point.
Yeah.
But it was very much he didn't want his son to be a musician because he wanted him probably to take over the family business or, like, you know, his idea of success was not to be a musician. So I like that there was the dynamic between the wannabe idol and the father. There's a lot of animosity there. Ooh. So I'm casting them in Wish You, which you can watch on Netflix in a movie version. Yes, it's less than 2 hours of your life, and it's adorable.
Yeah.
So for you, what reality show would you cast these characters in?
All right, we have options.
Okay.
When I was thinking The X Factor, which is like a glorified talent show.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them being on that type of show. Yeah. Like, not necessarily together, but I could see either of them on an X Factor type show. And then the other one kind of made me laugh. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which is basically kind of like Survivor, but celebrities. I'm not sure about like if they vote each other off or anything, but I think like they basically just abandon them in the middle of nowhere.
Jason would not survive.
I know. I feel like that would be highly entertaining to watch.
I would want to watch that. Yes, Taeyeon on X Factor makes sense. Yeah. Singer, dancer, get it. But Jason, yes, no, that spoiled brat needs to be. I love it. Do that. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I can hear him saying that.
I've always heard
early book Jason, because as the story progresses for him, he develops a lot. And you know, no spoilers, but in the second book, Jason really like shines. Like his quips are still there, but he is more in touch with himself and he's more stable. Yes, definitely.
That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here. We're going to go low to high. Heather's going to be so happy because there literally are not any 1 or 2 star reviews yet.
Yay!
I think there's only 4 1-star ratings and 3 2-star ratings
total. And none of them were brave enough to write reviews.
Yeah, which to be fair, there's only 170 ratings on this even to begin with. I know. I'm glad we're covering this one. It's so good. Okay, we do have some 3-star reviews. We've got Hannah. As a huge K-pop fan, this book was a fan fiction dream. It was nice to see Jason and Taeyeon's growth throughout the book. The book uses a lot of Korean phrases without explanation, so it would be hard for someone with no knowledge of Korean culture to pick up this book without stopping to Google things. Overall, it was a cute, steamy romance novel, and I would recommend to those with a love of K-pop. I agree. I mean, I didn't mind Googling things.
Fair.
I definitely did Google things, though.
That's fair.
Yeah. Heather's ready to fight.
I'm not. I feel that even outside of my obsession with K-dramas, like, there's the whole scene in the Thai beach that we didn't even talk about, where I think the big thing that you need to know is, like, the honorifics. And if you don't know those, you don't know those. But I feel like there's enough explanation. Maybe not.
You look so sad.
All right. I am obsessed. Right. Sorry.
You're fine. Devin gave it 3 stars. There is something particularly appealing to me about a queer romance novel filled with messy people. The room to be so and the space to grow from that mess is not something that we have always gotten to read, but it is something that KT Salvo presents plenty of in Idle Minds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jason was messy as hell in the beginning.
And Taeyeon didn't behave well either. Like, he reacted quickly. Yeah,
he's very grumpy.
Yeah.
Okay. Megan gave it 4 stars. Loved this. Very sexy and emotional in the best of ways.
Yeah.
All right. And Joe gave it 4 stars. For a first novel, I did enjoy this book. The characters were well written and the story had good substance. Although they did get together fairly quickly, but I've certainly read a lot worse. There was some terminology that I didn't quite understand, but I'm not Korean or into K-pop, so that's probably why. It didn't really detract from the story, so not a huge issue. It highlights that the differences between stars across the world isn't that much different country to country. Looking forward to the next story. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Corey with 5 stars. KT Salvo's Idle Minds rises above the steamy gay romance genre with its complex characters, open communication, and healing narrative. Yeah. And then there's Heather's review that's 5 stars, but it's basically like it was your summary.
Yeah, it was literally my summary.
Yeah, you used your review as the summary, yeah.
Essentially, I did. I did, right as you were sending me the link to the call, I made some edits to the review.
Ooh, you should read it for us.
Oh, very well.
All right, hit us with the first sentence. Fine.
If you enjoy the over-the-top tropes of K-dramas, Korean BLs, or Thai BLs, do yourself a favor and read this book. You can thank me later.
Yes.
My update to this. Latest read, 11/3/23 for Turgid Tomes podcast. I fall more in love with the story every time I read it. That's the latest update.
Big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol would you rate this book?
So I rated it in big hammers.
Big hammers.
Because on page 174, Taeyeon and Jason are having this whole little flirty moment, and Taeyeon calls Jason's penis a big hammer. And then at the end of the book, when Jason decides he's going to start his own production company because he's tired of people firing him if he sneezes too loud, he asks Taeyeon, guess what it's called? He's like, well, I'm almost afraid to ask now. And Jason grins, Big Hammer Entertainment.
Love
and
that.
No lie, that is the name of his production company in the second book. I never caught it, not even once. And I've read this book 3 times. I have given it 5 million big hammers, or, you know, 5, because that's all you'll allow me. So, how many big hammers would you rate Idle Minds?
I am going to give it... Oh my god, you look stressed.
I'm stressed. Why
do you look stressed? I'm going to give it 4.75 stars. Or, excuse me, big hammers.
That's right.
I really like this. Like I said, I've said it before, it was delightful. It was lovely. I literally laid down to read this before bed thinking I was only going to read a couple chapters and then pass out and then just basically continue doing that until I finish. Next thing I know, I'm 30% of the way in and it's like after midnight on a work day, on a work night.
Oh, on no, a weekday. On a school night.
Yeah, on a weekday. So I was just like, oh shit, okay. It just sucks you in. It's like cozy, somehow cozy and wholesome. And it's just, even though there's really intense stuff going on, I don't know, like you're in it to win it. You're in it with the characters. You're like, okay, gotta get this W, boys.
Yep.
Like, fuck everybody up. Let's go. H-E-A. But yeah, it was just hilarious because I love when I go into a book with no expectation, no assumption. I'm just kind of going in blind. I didn't even read the synopsis. I was just like, I'm doing it.
Wow. And then
I do that sometimes. I like to get a little wild. That's brave. Like to live on the edge. So go. I think that speaks a lot about how good this is.
I've been trying to convince you to do Rockstar Romance since the first season of the podcast, and I'm glad that we waited this long because this book did not exist until this year.
That's right. You got it on NetGalley first.
I got it on NetGalley. I read it in February, right before it originally released, and then I bought it on paperback immediately, read it again in March, and I've been waiting my chance to read it for the podcast, and then here it is. But I did, in the meantime, get to read the sequel, Idle Moves, which officially releases on November 7th, which is already out by the time people hear this.
Yep.
Yes. So chances are very good I've already read both of these books again before anyone hears this. I am obsessed. I'm not going to lie. And in a perfect world, there is another book after the second book. So there's a third book. There has to be. There has to be, because what happens at the end of book 2?
Yeah, we'll trilogy.
I feel like a trilogy would round this out nicely.
And now it's time for the bi-weekly boner. And this week, Heather is going to provide us with a gem.
It's a me! okay. You asked for it. So, this bi-weekly boner comes with a warning.
Oh.
if you like pumpkin spice lattes, get the fuck out right now. Like, immediately run away.
Okay.
So the book that I have pulled this from is called Jack. It is Halloween Monster Erotica by Layla Fay. Mm-hmm. So the short version intro to this is Susie is a witch and she performs a spell to find her magical lover. And Jack shows up one Halloween and he is a human male body with a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern head.
Okay.
And he is fully on fire, inflamed. And so she finds herself cornered by this very horny jack-o'-lantern human. And basically he says, if you don't take the edge off, then I'll probably fuck you until I break you. So she starts wondering if Jack's cock is a human cock or not. I will begin reading. Jack's cock was not a human penis. Its head was the most terrifying, because how could anything with such a wide girth ever fit inside her? The head's base was a bulbous and pulsing like a living heart. The thin orange skin stretched taut across the swollen organ. The rest of the head was cone-shaped like a sharpened pencil, with a round hole at its tip. The hole pulsed, too, opening and closing in a sucking motion. Would Jack taste different? Before she could think better of it, she leaned closer. Her tongue darted out and caught a drop of Jack's pre-cum before it could fall on the floor. He tasted like pumpkin spice syrup, only with a sharper tang, more ginger, less sweetness. The texture was creamy, sliding down her throat like melted chocolate. You taste like Halloween, she said.
I...
uh-huh.
Wait, is there more?
There's more.
Okay.
So, later on... With renewed focus, Susie returned to studying his cock. Almost as long as her forearm, it was thickest at the base of its head and at its root. Five protruding, horizontal ridges ran around it, circling the shaft at even distances. She bit her lip, thinking how they would feel when he thrust into her. She'd feel every ridge against her opening, pushing inside, and with every inch, he would stretch her wider and wider.
Wait.
Jack thrust in her open mouth, filling it with the head of his cock, while her palm cupped his sack, heavy with balls. All four of them. More balls, more cum, he said. Yeah, I'm gonna stop there.
Okay.
Before I spoil Wait. The rest of the book.
First of all, I am one of the few people that doesn't like pumpkin spice. It's not that I'm, ooh, I'm so cool, I'm different, yeah. I don't like what everyone else likes. No, I just, I've tried. No. I've tried... Yeah. I want to like it, but I
just... You don't have to like it.
I don't.
There's plenty of us that do.
So, nothing's being ruined for me there. But I'm confused, because she talked about the head of his cock being huge, but then it's like a pencil tip.
Sharpened like a pencil. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The hole?
Yeah.
So which that is sucked. It? You can't have both, right?
But you can! Because Layla Faye says so.
Wait, is it like... So it goes like this, and then it comes out through the head. Well, ooh, yeah, I guess it makes
demonstrating
sense.
Demonstrating that, because I'm not looking.
I guess it makes sense. It's just all the way it was worded was a little confusing.
Yes. And I did pick out a couple of the descriptions from their dialogue, which is a train wreck, by the way. Mm. But this goes on, right? Okay, so... What I'm visualizing is this cock is apparently huge, but you know how like pumpkins have this like round shape, like, and then if it were on a penis, they're like ridges.
Yeah. So
it's like pumpkin shaped ridges going into, it's a whole thing. But he later goes on and they have anal sex, but he uses magic pumpkin lube, and apparently this lube stretches her out so there's no pain and he can fit all of him in her. And then, because of course there's a breeding kink, just wait, you'll love this.
Naturally.
One to keep the Halloween magic so they can stay together, he will have to breed her. And so he even says that, oh, you've just been getting the juice, now I'll give you the seeds. And just for a minute, think about what that means with pumpkin juice and pumpkin seeds, just for a hot second.
Oh, no.
Think about that. Yeah, I'm ruining pumpkin and Halloween for everyone right now.
You
I'm
know
sorry.
What I'm thinking
Anyone
about?
Listening to this?
You know what I'm no, thinking about? Trees can grow inside people from a seed.
No. You would. True story. That is in this book.
I'm just stuck on the four balls.
Yep. No. This book's a lot. This.
I find it interesting that the Kraken book we read had no balls, and now we're talking about four balls.
Yeah.
Making up for lost time.
Yeah. This one was a lot. And when you said, do you have a boner for this recording? I'm like, yes, I do.
Which always sounds like the most awkward. I think I literally texted you and I was like, odd pod question. Do you have a boner?
You did. You did.
Oh my God.
And you did. And I was like, well, thank you for, you know, the lead into that in case anyone's reading my text messages. You asked for a boner and you came at me with Vulcan peen. So you get jack-o'-lantern penis. You're welcome.
Yeah. Vulcan peen, jack-o'-lantern peen. This is an equal opportunity peen.
Yeah. Like, no.
Equal opportunity boners.
This one was a lot.
That is a lot. I'm not here for it. I don't like that.
It was orange. It had ridges. It was orange. Like, did it have a huge head, or was it a pencil?
I'm literally.
And why did it have four balls?
I'm literally picturing a traffic cone with four little mini pumpkins at the base, and like a medium pumpkin on top. I won't draw a picture and put it on the Instagram because I'll get banned. But
we'll get banned.
Okay, that's it. That's the tantalizing traffic cone for this week. Let's move on to the question and poll. All right, what should our question be? Oh, okay. What's your favorite K-pop group? That'll be the question.
Okay.
I only really know about BTS. That's the only name I recognize. What's your favorite?
Currently, maybe ATEEZ, followed by BTS, Stray Kids, and Hyphen, Even. Ooh, I just discovered Kingdom last night. They're excellent. Ooh. Okay. A lot. Yes, many.
All right. What should our poll be?
Is this one of those yes, no?
Or just options? Like, yeah, options. Yes or no, okay. Or options.
Poll.
Were you a fan of Messy Jason? Yes, no.
Aww.
What was yours?
Jason. I was thinking like Flavor Soju, Original Soju. But that honestly is more a question than a poll.
Oh,
Messy
oh.
Jason.
Do you like bean paste? Do you like sweet bean paste?
Oh.
Yes, one of us. No, lame.
Yes, that. But it has to be one of us or no lame.
Yes.
Like,
all right.
No, can we? No. Yes, one of us. No, can we convert you?
Yes. I like
Can we
it.
Change your mind?
But do we really want to change their minds? Because that means less sesame balls for us.
Fair.
We did it.
Yay!
We finally read a Rockstar romance that you've been asking for like 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up. It's pretty late, and Nicholas is going to murder me.
This late. Oh my God, it's 1 a.m.
Next month, we will be getting into the holiday spirit with our Holly Jollies theme. Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, A Merry Little Meet Cute by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. That's right, you're getting Heather back to back. Prepare thyselves.
Oh no. More queer shit.
You went from Halloween peen
to Christmas.
And we're moving into Christmas peen. How apt. Look at us. Look at us.
And remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.
Toodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.